Welcome to Earth Matters here on Gila Membris Community Radio, KURU 89.1 FM. This is Allison Civic, Executive Director of the Gila Resources Information Project, and I'm your host for today's program. This is the first Earth Matters of 2017. Thanks for listening to our program as we enter our fifth year of producing Earth Matters and keeping you informed about the global, national, state, and local environmental and conservation issues that affect us all. As the extreme anti-environment, anti-science, climate-denying, and racist Trump administration takes over the White House in less than 2 weeks, people are mobilizing to talk about how to defend our environment, our civil rights, and basic human values. I'll be talking with several folks who are part of the resistance movement to find out how people are organizing and showing solidarity around peace and respect for all, including Mother Earth. But first, my Earth Matters co-producer and Upper Gila Watershed Alliance director, Donna Stevens, is with me to fill us in on Saturday's Wild and Scenic Film Festival. Good morning, Donna.
Hi, Allison.
So in the interest of full disclosure, both Donna and I are part of the Gila Conservation Coalition that is organizing Saturday's Wild and Scenic Film Fest. And Donna, this is sure to be an inspiring event. Can you tell us more about the festival?
Yeah, well, first I wanted to say that we really need inspiration more than ever right now. And I mean, that's the theme of this year's Wild and Scenic Film Festival, to inspire activism. So it couldn't be more timely. So the Wild and Scenic Film Festival started in 2003, and it was started by a nonprofit called the South Yuba River Citizens League, or CIRCLE, to celebrate the wild and scenic status of the South Yuba River. So every year they have a four-day festival featuring more than 100 award-winning films, and they have guest speakers, the filmmakers and actors. And then after they have their festival, all of those films go on tour. So there's an international touring film festival. And this is the sixth year that Gila Conservation Coalition has hosted the Wild and Scenic Film Festival in Silver City. And this year, the festival is taking place at the historic Silco Theater on Saturday, January 14th at 6:30 p.m.
Great, Donna. So why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the films that are going to be screened? There's a pretty wide variety of topics and formats.
Right. So the films in the Wild and Scenic Film Festival are kind of the cream of the crop. So the names of the films won't mean much to most people because these are not Hollywood blockbuster films, but they're independent films made by really talented filmmakers. You know, filmmakers who are passionate about the natural world and a healthy environment. So I'll give you a brief overview of some of the films. There's about a dozen of them. One of them is called 62 Years. And this film is about Ken Brower, who's the son of David Brower, and who Kenneth Brower was here at the Gila River Festival a few years ago and spoke here. So the last time that Ken Brower traveled down the Yampa River in Colorado was with his father, David Brower, in 1952. And so this year, in this film, 62 Years, Ken Brower kind of recreates and revisits the Yampa and Green Rivers to reflect on his father's work and their river trip in 1952. And also he talks about how we'll confront the looming water crisis in the American West.
So, and then there's another film that highlights a river icon, Martin's Boat, right, about Martin Litton?
Yeah, so Martin Litton was, he's no longer with us, but the late Martin Litton was kind of a conservation hero, a protector of the Colorado River. And in this film, which is by Pete McBride, we've seen some of his films in the past.
They're really excellent. Geographic photographer and filmmaker.
Right. He's a really great filmmaker. So this film, Martin's Boat, honors the legacy of Martin Litton, who began taking wooden dories down the Colorado River in the 1960s. And with his guiding business, he started a tradition in naming the boats after wild places that had been lost or compromised by the actions of humans. So this is a really great film and some really great photography in it. And then just to continue on with some films about streams, there's a film called Cold Waters, and that's CO2, Cold Waters. And it features five of the most respected names in fly fishing. And they converge on a creek in Montana to talk about their passion, fly fishing. And not just fly fishing, but to discuss how that intersects with the threat to, with how climate change intersects with their passion, fly fishing. So it includes these legendary fishermen, including Yvon Chouinard, who's one of the founders of the company Patagonia. And that, again, has some really great photography in it.
And then, Donna, there we have a couple shorts and an animated film, right?
Yeah, there's a couple of animated films, and there's some short films, and one of them is called Nature RX, and another is Worse Than Poop. So, I mean, I'm not going to say anything about these films. If you want to know about them, you just kind of have to attend the film festival on Saturday,
January 14th. They're so short, 14th. We'll give away the punchline
right,
if we
can't
tell
give it
you
away,
about them.
But they're pretty funny, so I would encourage everybody to show up. And not just to see the films, but if you have somehow managed to not see the renovated Silco Theater, now is your chance to come and see how cool it is. And,
yes, it's very
and
beautiful.
And to support the theater.
And also, we have, as our MC, Raul Turrieta,
right.
And we've got some local folks introducing films.
Yeah, so we have some local films, and one of them is Love of Country. And this is a film that features Dutch Salmon going down the Gila River. Dutch Salmon is one of the founders of the Gila Conservation Coalition. And in this film, it's very timely right now because Dutch will talk about his philosophy of how patriotism means protecting the land. And this is something that's more important than ever in 2017. And then we have another film about the Gila River, and this is done by a filmmaker in northern New Mexico, Ron Romero. And Ron has a film that features himself going down the Gila River with some pretty hilarious footage of his adventures floating the Gila River. And then we have another local film, Heart of the Gila. And this film is about the work that was done by the three local students who lost their lives in a plane crash a couple of years ago. That would be Ella Jazz Kirk, Ella Myers, and Michael Mall. And this film is Heart of the Gila, and that's a really excellent film, too, to honor the memory of these students. And those filmmakers would be on hand, too, to introduce their films.
Yes, that's right, except for Nat Stone actually produced.
Oh, right. Okay. Two of them will be here.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And Donna, tell everybody about the raffle. That's always a big hit every year.
Yeah, there's a raffle at the Wild and Scenic Film Festival, and your admission price gets you a raffle ticket. You don't have to purchase a raffle ticket separately. So some of the items that we'll be raffling are water bottles, you know, stainless steel water bottles and cups, T-shirts from our national partners, as well as Gila Conservation Coalition, Gila River Festival T-shirts. We have a book, and I guess our big raffle item will be a poster of the Harry Benjamin painting from the very first Gila River Festival. So as I said, yeah, your admission price gets you a raffle ticket. And we also have reusable shopping bags. And so while I'm talking about raffle tickets, I want to give a shout out to the national sponsors. These are people who sponsor the Wild and Scenic Film Festival as it travels around the country. So we have Patagonia, Clean Canteen, Barefoot Wine and Bubbly, Orion Magazine, Sierra Nevada Brewing, Cliff Bar, Earth Justice. And so these are some really green and responsible businesses. And then we also have some local sponsors who I'd really like to thank because it's kind of expensive to bring this film festival to Silver City. And so our local major sponsors are Center for Biological Diversity, Dennis Weller Photography, Gila Hike and Bike, Gila Resources Information Project, or GRIP, New Mexico Wilderness Alliance, Stream Dynamics, Upper Gila Watershed Alliance, Vicki Allen, Bob Wilson, and Lisa Houston. And then there's some other sponsors, local sponsors, too, and they are Tom and Martha Cooper, Bob Garrett and Mary Hotvet, Southwest New Mexico Audubon Society, Silver City Food Co-op, Syzygy Tile Works, Thera Speech, and Will, Western Institute for Lifelong Learning. So I want to give a shout-out to all these people who make it possible for us to bring this really great event to Silver City.
Yeah, that's great. And Donna, tell us some of the particulars about the event on Saturday, time, location.
Yeah, it's, so it starts, the film festival is Saturday, January 14th at 6:30 p.m. at the Silco Theater on Bullard Street. And the doors open at 6 o'clock, so you can get there early and make sure that you get a seat.
Right. And for more information, where can people go?
People can visit the Gila Conservation Coalition website, and that is gilaconservation.org. And you can find out about prices and more information on the movies on that website. Students get in free. I would like to mention that.
Yes, that's right. Students get in free. So what else? We've got some music we're going to have for sale, the Gila River CD, and we're going to be playing some selections from that.
That's right. Those are local musicians who have written original music and wrote and play original music about the Gila River. And I just wanted to talk about a couple of more films.
That'd be great.
So there's a film called Mother of All Rivers. So in the last year or so, I can't remember exactly when, there was an activist in Honduras?
Yes, Honduras.
Okay. A woman named Berta Caceres, who was actually murdered. She was doing work to help her people stop a dam that was being built by a Chinese dam builder. This is a film that's narrated by Robert Redford, and it really illustrates how ordinary people can affect extraordinary change. Now, obviously, it's not that inspiring to think you might be murdered by your activism, but, I mean, that's an extreme case. So she's really an environmental hero who placed herself squarely in harm's way to battle really intimidating adversaries and in the process built really strong grassroots support. So this work continues even though Berta is no longer with us. And then there's some other really kind of personal films. There's one called The Important Places. And this is about a father and son rediscovering their connection as they journey down the Colorado River in the Grand Canyon. And it just kind of highlights to us the importance of staying in touch with family while we do really good work.
So we've got a terrific event planned for Saturday, and I hope everybody will join us on this Saturday, January 14th at 6:30 p.m. at the Silco Theater. Doors open at 6. Get there early so you can get a ticket, fill out your raffle ticket, and get in the door and get a good seat. So, Donna, thanks so much for joining me this morning to talk about the Wild and Scenic Film Fest, and we'll see you on Saturday.
All right. Thanks for having me. Hope to see everybody else there, too.
All right. Coming up, we've got Kieran Suckling, Executive Director of the Center for Biological Diversity, and we'll be right back after this quick break. Welcome back to Earth Matters here on KURU 89.1 FM. This is Allison Civic, Director of the Gila Resources Information Project, and I'm your host for today's program. Kieran Suckling, Executive Director of the Center for Biological Diversity, is here in the studio this morning. Good morning, Kieran.
And good morning. Thanks for having me on. It's a beautiful sunny morning.
I know. It's great to have you. So, Kieran, you and your crew from the Center are on the Earth to Trump cross-country road show to empower people to resist the incoming administration's anti-environment and racist agenda. And Silver City was one of the stops on the tour this past Sunday. And I was wondering if you could tell us what the Resistance Roadshow is all about.
Well, we're bringing together, you know, all of the communities and people that are threatened by this authoritarian president and the rhetoric we've seen coming in. So, you know, obviously environmental groups, but beyond that, you know, women's groups, people working for gender equality, for free speech, gay and lesbian groups, Latino groups, Muslim groups, you know, really everybody that Trump has threatened and promised to essentially take the rights away from. And so we're bringing them together in 16 different cities, starting on the West Coast, making our way over to D.C. on the 18th for the last big final event. And then we will bring with us this giant globe, this giant earth into which people have put their messages to Trump, call them our Earth Trump messages. And we're going to deliver that globe to Trump at the inauguration on the 20th.
Oh, wow. So here on the Center for Biological Diversity got its start here in the Gila region. What are you most concerned about regarding the potential impacts of a Trump administration on our area?
I think they could be enormous down here. One will be, of course, that Trump has said he wants to build a wall, a big wall, as he calls it, across the border with Mexico. And to date, you know, there's been large fences across much of the border. The areas where fences have not been put in to date have been the wildest, most rugged public land areas. And so our national wildlife refuges, our national forests have not felt the brunt of this as much. And that's a huge fear, that we're going to put big, not just fences, but big walls mm-hmm. across our national forests, national parks even. And that's a big issue for everyone in the border country. Then secondly, the border communities like Silver City, Tucson, where I live, have a very long and powerful and large Latino history and community and a cross-border relationship with towns on the Mexican side. And so there's a huge threat to these people of being deported or harassed, made fearful, cut off from their families on the other side of the border. So that is a huge threat. And this is not specific to the Southwest, but I feel like women's rights and ability to control their bodies are threatened everywhere, including Absolutely. Here in Silver City.
Mm-hmm. And what about on the environment? We've been talking a lot about public lands privatization, so transfer public lands to the private sector and for oil and gas development, mining. So what's your perspective on that?
This is a really big threat. Virtually everybody that Trump has nominated to be in his cabinet are climate deniers. Many of them work for and advocate for the oil and gas industry. And so we've got Rex Tillerson as the head of Exxon. He wants to put in as Secretary of State. And, of course, our oil drilling in this country now is increasingly dependent upon international trade, because we're drilling so much oil we can't even use it here. And there's been a big push to build export ports to ship that oil elsewhere. And so we're going to see Rex Tillerson push for that, and that means more drilling here. Rick Perry, he wants to put in front of the Department of Energy, is on the board of an oil company as well.
I think he's on the board of the Dakota Access Pipeline, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then Ryan Zinke, who he wants to put in charge of Department of Interior, and consequently all our BLM lands. He's a huge proponent, not just of more oil and gas drilling, but he actually wants to bring back coal mining on our public lands. And so this is going to be a huge issue, and especially for BLM lands in New Mexico, southern New Mexico, and particularly southeast New Mexico, is a very big oil field
right.
area.
And of course, BOR, the Bureau of Reclamation, is under the Secretary of Interior, and the Gila River Diversion NEPA Record of Decision will happen in 2019 in the middle of the Trump administration.
So. Yeah, that is a real concern. Now, we haven't heard Trump directly talk about water
right.
issues so far, but if you look at everyone that he wants to put into office, you have no doubt of
right.
which side of the equation that they're going to come down on.
Yes, it's very scary. So what'd you do here in Silver City on Sunday?
We had just an amazing event. I was blown away. We were at Javelina Cafe. I should say we weren't exactly at the Javelina Cafe. We filled it, and then we went out kind of into the back area, and then we spilled into the streets, and we spilled across the streets. There were so many people that came out. We actually had to bring the audio speakers outside so people could hear them. It was really incredible. We had about 300 people turn out here. And to put that in perspective, we did a show in LA. We had 250 people in Los Angeles. We
wow.
had 300 here in Silver. So It was a great community here. Yeah, very activated. And we had great speakers from the community. We had musicians that we brought in. And it was just really a wonderful event. And people were very upbeat and excited. And that's something we've seen in all the shows we've done so far. We've done about 8 shows now. Tonight we're in Denver and Houston. And I think people have just been dying to be able to do something, not just sit at home and worry. And so they've been really coming out to these shows in big numbers.
And the beautiful thing is you've got music, which is so wonderful.
And yeah, from the very beginning when we thought of this, we said we've got to bring musicians on tour. And so because that really reaches people's heart in a big way. And so we've got 2 tours, one coming across the central U.S., one going across the southern. And we've got 2 musicians on each of those tours.
That's great. So Inauguration Day, is there going to be a march, too, or a sort of demonstration?
Of course, people from all over the country are going to demonstrate. So we've been so busy, honestly, just planning the 16-city tour on such short notice that we're not 100% sure what we're going to do when we get to D.C.
Okay.
But groups are coming in from all over, and we're starting to contact them and figure out what the game plan is. So we know that our group, we're going to bring several thousand people with us there. We'll have this giant Earth globe. We'll have our polar bear army with us as well. We're hoping to get 100-plus people dressed up as polar bears. And then we'll join in with people from Sierra Club and Planned Parenthood and all kinds of other groups and put on a really big display of resistance and opposition, but also of hope and giving the message to people that if we stay strong, we can hold back a lot of this agenda. And it's important to remember back to when George Bush was elected. We had very great fears, and certainly we saw a lot of terrible things happen. But most of his environmental agenda did not get carried out. Looking back at it, you're like, wow, we actually stopped most things he wanted to do.
It's amazing.
So we can do that again.
Right. So if people missed the Silver City event, how can they get involved and still send their message to President-elect Trump?
Oh, yes. This is actually very important. So we had people write down these messages, and they would put the hashtag Earth2Trump on it with the number 2, and we're sending those in the globe. But people can do this on social media as well. In fact, we think we can get hundreds of thousands to people to do it on social media. So what I would say to folks is, write down a short message, whatever matters to you, whatever you want Trump to hear, and write it down on a piece of paper, big letters, and put hashtag Earth to Trump on it. Take a photo of yourself and post it on Facebook, post it on Twitter, and ask your friends to do the same. If you're more creative and you want to do a video, do that. And if you don't have time to make the photo, just send a message on Facebook or to Trump. This is my message, and what's yours? And we're hoping to get hundreds of thousands of people to start sending that message on social media.
Right, and since
Instagram as well.
Instagram, that's right. And since President-elect Trump is a big Twitter fan, seems like Twitter is a good vehicle.
And if you're on Twitter, use the hashtag Earth to Trump, but then also send it to @RealDonaldTrump, and he will get it directly.
Very interesting. So what else can you tell us, Kiran, in the closing couple minutes of this segment? Any other messages you want to leave us with and tell our Silver City folks? It would be one thing. I want to invite you back as we've got a long haul here for 4 years. I'm sure there are going to be lots of issues. So please, when you're back here in Silver City, come talk to us so we can keep our folks involved.
Yeah, I definitely will. I'll be back here and love it here, still have a house here, and wish I could spend more time. I think the big thing coming up very soon is the Senate hearings on his nomination start today. In fact, right at this very second, Sessions, terrible, just racist, ugly human being, is in a Senate hearing right at this very second to be the U.S. Attorney General. And all this week and dragging into probably a month, we're going to have the nomination. So this is a great time to tune into those. You don't necessarily have to listen to the hearing itself. If you're on social media or reading the paper, you're going to see who's up at what time. And call your senator and tell them to oppose these. The House doesn't approve them. It's all in the Senate. So focus on your senator and tell them to oppose these nominations. I think that some of them will get stopped. Others will get through. And the difference is going to be is how many phone calls are made by people.
Right. So Senator Tom Udall, Senator Martin Heinrich are senators here in New Mexico. So if you care about these nominees, and Karan's given us a sense of what these cabinet nominees will potentially do, it's very important that you call Senator Udall, Senator Heinrich, and let them know how you feel about these nominees.
And contact your friends in other states. You know, Heinrich and Udall usually do the right thing without a whole lot of pressure, and there's probably some other senators in other states where your friends live who really need to make that call.
All right. So thank you so much, Karan, for stopping by this morning and talking with us here on Earth Matters about the Resistance Roadshow. We really appreciate it. And remind people, go to earth2trump.org for more information. And we'll be right back after this short break, and we'll talk more about empowering ourselves to resist attacks on our environment and civil rights. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Earth Matters here on KURU 89.1 FM. This is Allison Civic, Director of Gila Resources Information Project, and your host for today's program. And my guests for the second half of our show are Jim McIntosh, Deborah James, and Barbara Mora, who have been hard at work, along with many other people in our community, organizing upcoming events to empower people to defend our environment and civil rights as the most extreme anti-environment, anti-science, anti-climate, and racist administration enters the White House later this month. Welcome, Jim, Deb, and Barbara.
Good morning, Allison.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedules to be with us. Jim, let's start with you. You are organizing the People's Procession on January 21st, I know, along with a huge group of folks. Can you tell us about the event and why you're doing it?
Sure. What we're planning is a celebration of diversity, a peaceful, nonpartisan People's Procession. Our poster puts it well, I think. We walk united for diversity, compassion, and justice. Everyone is welcome because we're all in this together. And I'm glad you pointed out that I'm one of the organizers among many. We began planning this event in late November, and when I emailed some friends and floated the idea of staging a loud and proud parade, a kind parade, in our hometown as a way of demonstrating solidarity in the face of many, how should we put it, disturbing developments in Washington. And those friends in turn contacted other friends, and pretty soon we had a number of people who were interested in meeting and planning a community event. That first planning meeting took place at the Volunteer Center Commons, and the group has continued to grow week by week. We have no formal affiliation, but I think it's fair to say that everyone at our table is a progressive, and I think everybody would say they're all very opinionated. Really, our goals for the event are threefold. First, we want to give voice to people in the community who know deep in their hearts that diversity of opinion, of background, of orientation is the essence of a healthy community. I'm a teacher at Otto Leopold. One of my students, Daniel Grushka, who is a very serious mathematician and environmental scientist, stood up in front of the student body the other day and he said, here at school, we all learn about the importance of biodiversity and that an ecosystem is strongest when there are many different types of plants and animals in the ecosystem. Humans are the same, Daniel said. We are at our strongest as a community when the people in the community are diverse. a young man of 16 has figured this out, but sometimes we older people forget this truth because, you know, diversity can push us. It can challenge us. It can make us feel uncomfortable. Michelle Obama put it very well last week in that final speech she gave as First Lady, and she said, diversity is not a threat to who we are. It makes us who we are. You know, I am really reluctant to speak for everyone who will walk in the procession, but I think most of us support that brand of government that offers us institutions and means to look out for each other. Ultimately, with the procession, we want to say to each other and to the vulnerable people in our community, hey, we've got your back. Second, we really want to state in a public way what we stand for. We've been careful in our planning and in our consultation with town officials to state that we are not staging a protest march, but instead are inviting all comers to walk under a banner or carry a sign stating what they stand for. And, you know, the community has been the town government has been very supportive of us. You know, we're going high, as Michelle would say, putting a celebration together that would celebrate principles we believe in. We're focusing not so much on particular partisan policy issues as about, you know, what I would call enduring American values like free speech, free press, religious freedom, respect for fellow citizens, protection of the commons, which, you know, that's our natural order and our public institutions. In short, these are really ideas that any American can wrap his mind and heart around. Third, this is where I think the group becomes very idealistic, but we want to use this event as a way to bring people together to work for change, ultimately, something beyond, you know, preaching to the choir. Yeah, that may be all this is. And if we walk away from the procession and the rally, you know, with a stronger voice harmonizing, that's wonderful. But some people think that elections are a primary political act, that we elect a candidate and then our work is done for the next 4 years. But in fact, the day after election, which is the day we're holding the procession, the day after the election was when the hard work of the people begins. Our elected officials pledge to work for the citizens who elected them, and it's our job, you know, to make sure those officials know where we stand. There are many, many forms of legitimate, peaceful political expression beyond the ballot box. Writing to your congressman, testifying at hearings, showing up at public meetings, campaigning for candidates you believe in. And I campaigned for three of them last time. Allison, you know that ask people who support GRIP to do these kind of things. You know, beyond the ballot box, coming to the meetings. It's a time-honored American tradition, you know, civil
it's
dissent.
It's part of our democracy.
It is. We hope then that this event is going to bring together right. Those democratic allies from all columns on the ballot who will continue to struggle for justice.
So really, Jim, why is it important for us to show our commitment to peace, to diversity, for love and respect for all? I mean, why should we show it in our community? And that's what this.
You know, being civil to one another is the best way to enter a conversation, especially when you have significant disagreements. I know you put the words peace and love on a poster and people think, oh boy, here we go, another retro hippie loving right. In the streets of Silver City. But with this peaceful, positive procession, we're trying to live up to what we believe in, what we say we believe in, and actually model civil discourse. You can't govern people by bullying them, and neither can you win an argument that way. You know, we're in for the long game. Venting feels good for a while, and then you have to go to work with people you disagree with and get something done. And you better not have called them names last week.
Right.
You know, Allison, you and Nathan and Donna provide this enlightened, fact-based forum here at KURU. It's a program focused on science for people to discuss environmental issues that impact our daily lives. I listen to your show, and your voices are calm, and your research is thorough, and you don't invite people on your show to bully them, which is to say you model intelligent civil discourse. If you can imagine that tone taken to the main streets of Silver City to Golf Park, that's what we're hoping the People's Procession achieves.
All right. And so some other specific issues that you'd like to unify around? I know you've mentioned a few of them already, but...
Right.
If you have any others you want to mention.
I'm hoping in this procession we're going to see a myriad of issues addressed. We've asked people to make banners and signs declaring what they stand for. So I think you'll see people carrying loud and proud banners supporting LGBTQ rights. You'll see women carrying messages supporting our seemingly endless struggle to treat women as equal citizens in the Republic. You'll see people taking out for immigrants, for First Amendment rights. And since this procession is making its way through Silver City, you will see plenty of people carrying banners in defense of that heartbreakingly beautiful wild country we have the privilege of living next to, the Gila Wilderness. You know, I think you'll see people standing up for bedrock traditional American values like those enshrined in the Bill of Rights. I mean, really, we all have to stand up to call to any call to ban people of a specific religious faith from our country. That is preposterous. Today, the Muslims; tomorrow, the Unitarians. alas, the current anti-immigrant sentiment is only the latest expression in a long line of fearful, ignorant scapegoating in our country. I mean, just for a moment, let's imagine an America without its immigrant scientists. One could make a persuasive case that the United States would not even exist if we in the middle of the 20th century banned immigrants from our shores and our laboratories. If you tossed out the literature and the painting and the music that foreign artists brought to this country, America wouldn't be worth living in. It's one of our most irrational national ironies. This nation of immigrants loathes immigrants until we all marry each other, of course.
Right, right, right.
Personally, I'm deciding which banner I will carry. There are so many possibilities. I'm a nurse, so I would like to see the Affordable Care Act perfected rather than flushed down a public toilet during a temper tantrum. I'm also a science and math teacher, and so science is my lens. I can be easily frustrated when public policy makers completely ignore science. There's a banner for you. I stand for evidence-based public policy. It's not very catchy.
Science matters.
Yeah. It does, and I built my working life around that. Really deep down, knowledge is our only real national asset. I dream of the day when educating our people is our highest economic priority, when we put thought and research and money into educating our children, into retraining workers who are getting beaten up in this transition from a fossil-fueled economy to a renewably resourced economy. Throughout every decision we make, I would love for science to be our guiding principle. We waste so much critical time and create so many more problems for ourselves when we found our arguments on superstition, on vague and usually inaccurate notions of the past and on how it ought to be. We need to focus on how it is. And rather than wasting time on climate denial, accept the facts as they're presented and figure out the best way to confront those problems.
That's right. So how can people get involved? I know you've got an event this coming weekend, Sunday, January 15th,
yeah.
Like a banner making or
right.
Sign making. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, the Volunteer Center Commons, they'll be flinging open their doors for us next Sunday. And it's like a perfect space for banner making. Wide open floors, friendly people there. It feels good in that space if you've been in there. We'll have some materials on hand. We'll have some sheets and cardboard and paint. But we're also encouraging people to bring their own materials and obviously their creativity in order to make a bold and possibly witty banner or sign about what they're truly committed to. It'll be a fun gathering, purposeful and fun. And we'll be at the Commons from 11 a.m. till 3 p.m.
Okay. And then tell us again, the People's Procession, January 21st, time, where to meet, and how people can get more information.
Sure thing. Again, the procession is on January 21st. We're gathering at noon in front of La Capilla, and we're walking together to Gough Park. You can actually join the procession along the way, anywhere along the route. We're going to be coming down we're going to be coming down Broadway, all the way down Bullard, around the bend, down Pope Street to Gough Park. Join us anywhere along the way. If the hill's too intimidating, if it's icy, we're going to start at Spring Street Park. In fact, Spring Street Park is a good place for people to meet. That's the total route is 1.25 miles, but from Spring Street Park, it's 3/4 of a mile. When we arrive at the park, we'll hear from a number of local speakers, A.J. Sandoval from GRIP, Francis Vasquez from LULAC, Susan Golightly representing LGBTQ allies, Shelby Hallmark from Progressive Voters Alliance, Janet Wallet-Ortiz speaking about women's issues, and of course, your own Kyle Johnson from KURU, among others. And Raul Torrieta, our county assessor, will be serving as the MC. And you guys should count on some fine oratory, some good music, and maybe a little poetry. And it will all be very positive and very civil. And as far as getting more information, two options. We have a Facebook site. It's just People's Procession. It's really been kind of funny for this committee made up of people who are of certain advanced years, my age and beyond mostly. And my idea of social media is like writing letters, and email is my cutting edge. So I'm really stuck in the 90s. So we've been carrying on a lot of our communication via email and phone. But honestly, I'm going to – if Facebook is not your jam, I'm going to give you my email address. MrGreenDreams@msn.com. That's MR Green Dreams. It's kind of easy to remember. And I've been staying up late at night, returning messages and phone calls. So please contact us. Please be there for our town.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Jim, for being with us today on Earth Matters and talking about the People's Procession, Saturday, January 21st from noon to 2, starting at La Capilla. Check it out on Facebook. Just do a search on Facebook. It's easy to find. All the info's there. So we'll be right back after this short break, and we'll talk more about organizing for resistance. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Earth Matters here at KURU 89.1 FM. This is Allison Civic, Executive Director of the Gila Resources Information Project and your host for today's program. Deb James and Barbara Mora are Move On members who are organizing community meetings to discuss how to keep our community safe, fight for our values, and resist the dangerous agenda of the new administration taking over the White House in less than 2 weeks. And Barbara and Deb, can you tell us more? These meetings are happening on Sunday, January 15th, so busy day, lots going on. Tell us more about the meetings and the purpose, what you're trying to accomplish.
Okay, this Sunday, we have two events. Barbara and I have been working together to coordinate two community conversations. They will be of the same topics. We're going to be having facilitators for small group discussions to talk about the things Allison just mentioned. The first one will be at noon at Barbara's house, 49 Spring Creek Road, to second left off Rosedale Road. And then the other one will be at the Office of Sustainability here on Pope Street at 5 o'clock. We are going to be coordinating the information that is gathered, the ideas that are gathered at both events, so that all of you are aware of who is in your camp, who is excited and passionate about working on which particular issues.
And really, so it's sort of like trying to figure out what issues we might be confronted with in the local community. Is that right? And sort of how to plan what responses might be, say, so I'll just throw out an example and just tell me if I've got this right. So public lands, privatization of public lands, say, here in the Gila National Forest.
Protecting the most vulnerable, feeding our community. The overarching title we're calling a Building Community Resilience in Difficult Times.
Okay.
I would add, if people want to know what to expect from these meetings, they will last about 2 hours. It will start with a brief introduction. Participants will then choose from identified agenda issues and concerns. And we've drawn up some of these agendas have been given to us by MoveOn.org, who's sponsoring this event. By the way, this event is happening all over the country on the same day. And people can go to MoveOn.org and easily now use their event locator just by putting in their zip code to find an event nearest them. And so we've been given a proposed agenda for hosts who've never done this kind of thing before to know how to run these meetings. And it's very participant-driven, so that people will, after meeting each other, will choose an agenda item. Some of these, again, are put out by MoveOn.org, such as working towards protecting the Affordable Care Act, getting involved in knowing how to communicate with your members of Congress. But the others, Deb and I have come up, again, we're working together for local. And MoveOn.org is absolutely encouraging us to think local, because there's so many people who are feeling afraid right now. And we need to feel and work towards our particular community's issues. So we have local protections for the vulnerable, working towards fair living wage, protecting and enhancing our common home, all the environmental issues, including renewable energy, and also democracy watchdogs. Actually, that group will be led at my house by Jamie Newton, well-known to the radio.
Right. Chairman of the board.
Yes. And another issue will be feeding the community, which we'll be discussing local growers, all of the issues near and dear to us, and but also a general topic of volunteerism. There's very many people who are feeling this anxiety who don't know what to do. So the main purpose of all of these all over the country is bringing people together so that we can move out of that fear and anxiety and disgust at what's happened and access our hope and move that into action. And that's totally possible.
So take it from the negative and push it to the positive,
right.
And this, make
this
it productive.
Could be a really good thing. Yeah.
Very good. So for you both personally, I mean, this is a huge undertaking to do these meetings and organize and stuff. So what inspired you to take on this topic, this huge issue, Barbara?
Well, you know, it was Christmas Eve. I had become a member. I had joined MoveOn.org sometime during the election season. But on Christmas Eve, I was checking my emails, and there was one from MoveOn requesting that people host these meetings happening on January 15th all over the country. I quickly responded, yes. I very quickly just signed up and then checked out all the information that was available at that time. And then, you know, since then, I've gone, whoa, why did I do this? I've asked myself the same question. It was just a few days ago I realized that the reason I said yes so quickly and feel so passionate about it is comes from my experience as a physician of many times being called to come to a resuscitation of a newborn or a sick child. I'm a pediatrician. And that you don't stop and think about, should I do this? Or is this a good idea for me? Your self-interest is completely out the window. It has to be. And you get dressed if it's 3 a.m. and get to the hospital, join the team. You work as a team if you're going to do an effective resuscitation. And you do what you're trained to do. And you get your emotion, your self-interest out of the way. And that's how you're effective. And I realized a few days ago that this feels the same to me, the horror I felt on election night about what's happening to our country and the world, is that I knew when I got that invitation on Christmas Eve that, yes, I needed to say yes. I needed to take action. And so here I am. I'll do the best I can working with other people.
All right. Deb, what about you?
Well, like many of you in this room and many listeners, I have been an activist for most of my adult life. But what has really changed since the election is that I am seeing that there are many, many people who are ready to become activists, but they don't know where to put their energy. And the reason I believe that this has happened is that we've hit a tipping point where many of us who grew up as in middle-class families now have families composed of people who are representative of some of the most threatened, vulnerable groups since we have elected this group of foxes to tend the hen house. In my own family, for example, having been a single mother, by necessity, I became a labor leader. I watched labor unions basically get crushed in the 90s in Grant County. My own offspring are underemployed. They have no workplace protections for safety and fairness. We've adopted a young single mother who is a Latina who has known nothing except discrimination and struggle. The person who was probably most likely to have some sort of financial success lost it all in the 2008 crash. We have 3 seniors in our family who are living on 2 Social Security checks. Everyone in our family receives Medicare or Medicaid. 2 of us are victims of sexual violence, and we have a 4-year-old, a beautiful 4-year-old, who we want to be able to provide a livable, thrivable future. Those are all driving factors that I think many of our listeners can relate to. And because many of us can relate to them, maybe for the first time in our lifetimes, we have the same issues as those who have historically been poor in this nation. And now we need to all find our voices and our power and come forward and make our community strong and resilient.
Yes. And Jim, I didn't ask you that question. Would you like to chime in and give your personal reason why you're involved in this effort?
I was actually inspired to put together the procession by something that happened two decades ago in my former hometown, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We found out through the newspaper that the Ku Klux Klan was supposed to march through the center of town. And there was this outraged group that pledged, you know, we are going to go down to Queen Street in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and we're going to say, you know, this is no place for the Klan. But the problem was the KKK had a legitimate parade permit. You know, others of us decided, you know, maybe a shouting match in the middle of the street isn't the right response. So instead, we threw this big all-comers unity picnic at a park in the center of town, and it was kind of a beautiful thing because we were over here having this joyful celebration, and here comes this band of motley KKK members strolling down a largely empty street. You know, a couple of people shook their fists at the Klan, but they packed up and went home, and we never heard from the KKK again. So I learned a strategy there about how to confront things. Barbara, I loved your metaphor of resuscitation. I feel like democracy needs resuscitation right now. And one of the things that medical professionals have is training. You want to know what to do. And I think this peaceful approach, this positive approach, this inclusive approach is the right way. And being a teacher and a nurse has probably guided me to those conclusions.
You know, it's interesting. I saw President Obama's interview with George Stephanopoulos on Sunday, and the quote that I wrote down from his hour-long interview was, "There is a utility in democracy refreshing itself." And I thought, how appropriate, really, for what is happening right now with all of these efforts across the country that people who have never been engaged, have never participated in democracy, feel motivated to do that. And we really, now is crunch time, that it is more important than ever for people to get out there and exercise their democratic rights. And I'm so inspired by you all for providing these opportunities for us over the next week to 2 weeks. So tell me, Barbara and Deb, give me more specifics again. Tell our listeners again about the meetings just as we close out this segment.
There's two of them here in Silver City, and one will be at noon at my home. And the address can be found if you go to moveon.org. You'll easily find the event locator.
Just plug in the 88061.
You'll find it in the description of even how to get to my house is on there.
Excellent.
And my house is pretty big, but I would encourage people to carpool for parking. The other event will be at 5 at the Office of Sustainability in town. And Deb and I are working together on this event. We decided to keep it as two events to accommodate more people with two different time frames. And there'll be a little different flavor. I'm specifically inviting children to come with their parents because children badly need to know what's going on. They are as afraid as we are. And also children have wonderful ideas. We need to respect them, invite them, listen to them, and so they can be part of this change. They need to not be excluded. So it's this Sunday. Two events here locally. Go to moveon.org and you'll find the specifics about how to find the one that works best for you. If you're even not sure and you just want to come and listen, please come.
Okay. Deb James, Jim McIntosh, Barbara Mora, thank you so much for talking with me today about community meetings.
Thank you.
Yeah, to resist the dangerous agenda of the incoming Trump administration. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have today. I think this conversation could have lasted another hour, but that's all the time we have. Thank you to our audio engineer, Kyle Johnson. For a podcast of today's program, visit the Earth Matters program page online at gmcr.org. We hope you'll join us again for next week's edition of Earth Matters here on Gila Members Community Radio 89.1 FM.